welcome to another edition of SmackDown Rundown. I am your host, Seth Gutwrench Guttenplan, and joining me once again, 4 for 4, he is a Bleacher Report featured columnist, an avid pro wrestling fan, and he is host of Save Us GSM, which you can find every week, Wednesday nights at 10, on PW247.net. Welcome back, Graham GSM Matthews.
How's it going, Seth? Doing good today. Ready to talk about SmackDown from this past Friday night. Decent show and getting ready to break it down.
Awesome. And wasn't sure if he was going to make it today, but he told us just a few moments ago to screw it because he's in. Welcome back, the one and only medical expert of professional wrestling, Louie.
What's up, guys?
Before we get started with SmackDown Rundown, Louie, you had an announcement to make, which I will allow you to now make yourself since you didn't make it here.
Yeah, as everybody knows, I'm the new owner of WrestleEnigma.com, and I'm happy to announce that we have a working partnership with ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, which is the website that this show comes to you from. And sometime at the end of the month, we haven't ironed out the exact day yet, but myself and Joe Brigette are going to be moving our top 10 podcasts over to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And it's basically a PTI-style podcast where we talk about the top 10 news stories of the previous week. So as we get closer to the end of the month, we'll have a definitive day and time, and we'll be sure to make sure everybody knows about it.
Great. So look out for that on WrestleEnigma.com as well as ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I know myself, I'm sure Louie and others will be tweeting about it and promoting it, so look out for that. Let's get started with SmackDown Rundown. This past Friday night was a not-so-eventful SmackDown, in my opinion. Maybe too many squash matches. I'm not sure. We'll discuss that. I know we do see a lot of those on Raw, but Raw also has the extra hour. But when we started SmackDown this Friday night, we started with the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship, that being Big Show. He showed us a video package of him destroying various superstars. I know Chris Jericho was in there, John Cena, even CM Punk. Showing off how destructive Big Show can be. Sheamus comes out and cuts him off, you know, tries to play nice and say, may the best man win. At first, Big Show walks off, but we see a bit more of this Daniel Bryan beating Big Show in 45 seconds, Sheamus beating Daniel Bryan in 18 seconds. You know, the opening segment, in my opinion, was not great. What we saw was a lot of the same things that we've been seeing every week. Sheamus just keeps bringing up Big Show's 45-second reign as World Heavyweight Champion and keeps bringing up his 18-second win against Daniel Bryan. Guys, I'm going to throw it to you in just a moment, but, you know, what I'm thinking is that Big Show has this long career in WWE and in other wrestling promotions as well, but all Sheamus has to attack him with is his 45-second reign, and all that he is, you know, gloating about is his 18-second win. So to me, it was a very weak opening segment. Graham, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I completely agree. Any intimidation factor they give to Big Show with that awesome video package, which was very well done, by the way, of course, by WWE Production, but any intimidation factor he got from that video package was quickly diminished when Sheamus came out and started mocking him over the 45-second World Heavyweight Championship win from TLC last year. Now, I do appreciate whenever WWE acknowledges past angles, because they rarely ever do that these days. So bringing up the footage from TLC was pretty cool. But other than that, you know, mocking Big Show over the title win that was so short, as you just said, very, very weak. They were bringing it up on Raw this past week, SmackDown last week. It's an extremely weak angle to go, especially since Big Show comes off more sympathetic than anything, seeing the fact that he held the title for so short. And Sheamus came off as a complete jerk here. You know, when Big Show is walking off, Sheamus offered his hand to him, and Sheamus denied it and just walked off. So it's quite possible that it could, and it's a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen. They could pull off a double turn here. I mean, Sheamus is just coming off as a complete jackass during this entire feud since the start of last week. Whereas Big Show hasn't been coming off as angry, as destructive as he has been in the past since he turned heel in May. So, but as you said, the opening segment did not enjoy it whatsoever. They kind of furthered it throughout the show, but a very weak show. It's a very weak way to kick off the show.
Absolutely. I don't know that I'm not so confident that we will see a turn from Sheamus. He's becoming just another John Cena, but he might be the kind of John Cena where they shove him down our throats and we continue to hate him, but maybe the kids like him. I know as a teacher, I have, you know, a number of students who just love all the faces, love John Cena, love Sheamus, and I'm arguing with him because I like all the heels. So, you know, we will love to hate him. That is Sheamus. Louis, what's your take on Sheamus and the whole opening segment, Big Show, and the lack of them talking about anything other than his 45-second World Heavyweight Championship reign?
Yeah, it's a good tool to get under Big Show's skin, but, I mean, really, I don't know why you'd want to anger a giant. But, you know, Big Show can easily come right back and be like, yeah, so Sheamus, what have you done in your career? I'm the past WCW, ECW, WWE champion. Not many guys can say that, if any. I mean, Big Show has accomplished more in his history than Sheamus has. I mean, granted, it's, you know, apples and oranges, and Show has been wrestling for much more time than Sheamus. But, you know, Sheamus has got this, you know, kind of goofy kind of character where he likes to joke a lot and get under people's skin. So, I mean, it's keeping with his character, but it's starting to get a little old, too.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Big Show is one of the only people, I think he's a Triple Crown winner in WWE, and not many superstars are, especially active ones. But so overall, I think we all agree it was a very weak opening segment. Overall, you'll see this is a trend throughout the episode. But as we moved on in the episode, we saw another match from the tag team tournament, Kofi and R-Truth versus the Primetime Players. They did announce during the show, so we can, I think Louis was questioning this last week, whether or not for sure the winners of the tournament would face Hell No at Hell in a Cell. They did make that very clear during this match that the winners of the tournament will go on to face Hell No for the tag team championships at Hell in a Cell. Primetime Players win this. I don't think anyone was too surprised about this. But what I will say is that I know I'm not alone, that I was hoping that something would happen between Kofi and R-Truth to break them up, because I think that tag team is totally done. I think they're trying to push Kofi as a singles competitor, and this was a great opportunity for them to break it up, and they really did not take advantage of that. So I was hoping to see that. Regardless, I was not surprised to see the Primetime Players win. Louis, let's start with you this time. What did you think of the match and the updated tag team tournament situation?
I thought it was a decent match. I was kind of, you know, not really surprised either that Primetime Players won, because, I mean, you know, it just fits well with the bracket. I believe, and I could be wrong, I haven't seen the bracket, but I believe their next opponents are Santino and Zach, or am I wrong?
Primetime Players will be facing Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio in the next round.
Okay, cool. Well, either way, I mean, you had to have the heel team win because you have the face team waiting for them. And you're right. You know, Kofi's been wrestling singles more, and, you know, they're starting to lose matches now as a tag team, so it has definitely run its course. I'm guessing they're going to be broken up by Hell in a Cell, or maybe they'll have a match at Hell in a Cell with another tag team and break up that way. But, yeah, they're not long for this world, which is probably for the best now. Just a question of you know, how it happens, and, you know, odds are it's going to be Truth, you know, being the heel out of it. But who knows? Maybe they can swerve us and have Kofi become a heel. I think that'd be interesting to see.
That would be interesting to see, and I know that we spoke about how we're not so confident that WWE will do that based on Kofi's allegiance to the younger audience. But, Graham, what did you think of the match, and why didn't they split this team up yet?
Well, as far as the match goes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a good match. Both teams came off well. They have good chemistry. But I was thoroughly shocked by the fact that they didn't show any tension between Kofi Kingston and R-Truth. I know we've spoken about this many times here on SmackDown, Rundown, and on my show, Save Us GSM. But I just can't see WWE turning either guy heel. They're just really over with the crowd. I would love to see Kofi Kingston turn heel. He's in desperate need of a fresh character in his career after being the same guy for almost 5 years at this point. But I don't know how they're going to break up. I don't even think they will break up. I don't think they're going to be in tag team matches every week from this point forward. I think this was their last shot at the WWE tag team titles. But I do think they'll probably slowly start to part ways, you know, to the fact where they're not even, where people start to forget that they're a tag team and just go off that way and then kind of separate them into singles competitors. I think that's the way they're going to do it. It's typical WWE logic there, not having them break up. I would love to see a feud between them. That would be something fresh. We haven't seen it before. But only time will tell, and I'm really looking forward to Kofi Kingston as a singles competitor once again.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like you said, it seems like they probably want to keep both of these guys face, and so it may not be a whole situation that we see them breaking up necessarily. They may just start fighting more in singles competition. So we'll have to see how that goes, but Primetime Players win it. They will move on to face Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. I believe that they announced that that match will happen on Monday night, tomorrow night on Raw, in fact, followed by the other semifinals match next Friday on SmackDown. I believe both of those were announced to take place. So by next week, we should know what the finals will be. And we'll talk about that next week. Moving on, we saw a most uninteresting match between Primo and Ryback. We saw him use the clothesline from hell again, but it was the shell-shocked move that won it for Ryback. Guys, why do they continue to put Ryback in these squash matches? Haven't we seen this enough? They've been teasing CM Punk in a feud. I'm not saying that they should necessarily put him in a feud full-time with CM Punk right now, because I don't think that would be a good move, but at least continue a feud with The Miz or someone like Antonio Cesaro, where there might be a little more meaning, and you could even take that championship and give it some more prestige that way. Graham, let's start with you.
Well, as you guys know, I absolutely love Ryback and love what he's capable of. I think he has a very bright future in WWE. But as you said, very uninteresting match. We've seen this probably 1,000 times before with Ryback, just a different opponent. Makes Epico and Primo look weak, another very talented tag team. But I know WWE doesn't really care about them at this point. But the fact that they're giving him more exposure on both shows, they're really pushing him to move on Monday Night Raw during his mini feud with CM Punk, while also giving him extra action on SmackDown. I do like that. I don't know if they're going to give him another feud at this point. Probably not with Miz. I guess they kind of moved on from that after what happened 2 weeks ago on Raw. Maybe Antonio Cesaro, I like that idea. I don't know if they're going to give him a card title. I think getting Ryback a mid-card title at this point in time would be best for him before going to the main event in the foreseeable future. I didn't think it was all that bad. I think it did give him the extra exposure, as I just said, on both Friday Night SmackDown and Raw. But I do like the direction they're taking with Ryback at the moment.
Absolutely. I don't know that he needs a mid-card title necessarily, but I do think that it is a place for him to go right now by not continuing the squash matches every single show. It's enough already. Louie, what do you think?
He definitely needs to be in some kind of long-term program or feud with somebody before this whole CM Punk thing happens. You know, we see him go from guy to guy every week, and, you know, it would be really poor, I think, for the storyline if his first feud was with the world champion. You have to see what he can do in a feud and how he can carry it and progress it before you throw him into a world, you know, title feud. You have to see what you have first before you just put him in there. And right now we have no idea how he will carry a feud because he's never been in one. Whether he needs a title or not, I would like to see him have a mid-card title simply because, you know, I'm old school from back in the 80s where, you know, if you were Intercontinental Champion, you were the number one contender for the world title. I think, you know, they have to take that step first instead of just pushing him right to the WWE title for his first feud.
Absolutely. And just a reminder, if you have some, those of you listening, if you have a take on this that you would like to come in and speak with us, call in or use hashtag SmackDown Rundown, and I will read your question and give you a shout out here. But Graham, I'm going to go back to you, keeping on Ryback for a minute. Why haven't we seen any promos? We haven't heard Ryback speak a whole lot other than Feed Me More. When and why haven't we heard from him much?
I like that fact, actually. I like the fact that they're not making him talk all that much. It adds more of a mystique to his character. I really do like the fact that he comes off more intimidating. Maybe they'll add a mouthpiece to his character at some point. I'd love to see that. But I think right now, being a singles competitor, at the moment, just not talking. I know he's cut very few promos. I know they were probably pre-taped, maybe one on Raw or SmackDown at one point. But he actually was on SmackDown Fallout or whatever it's called, Backstage Fallout. He was talking about then. He was talking about his masked primo on that show. But other than that, yeah, I like the fact they're not making him talk at the moment. It adds a lot more mystique and makes him come up more intimidating. Because the guy's like Brock Lesnar. That guy sucks in the mic. He sounds terrible. His voice, it just does not match his body at all. So it's better for guys like him, much like Ryback, to not talk. I think it's probably one of his weaker points. I'm not saying Skip Sheffield or Ryback or whatever is weak on the mic. He's actually half decent. But keeping him not speaking at the moment is definitely way more intimidating.
Absolutely. Louis, do you have anything to add to this?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, he makes it, you know, they're making him come off as a monster, and monsters rarely talk. The only thing I'd like to see him change eventually as, you know, we get further and further along and they keep teasing this Punk thing, I'd really like him, instead of Feed Me More, to change it to Feed Me Punk. I think that would add more interest and the fans would, you know, want it more because Punk keeps avoiding him. I think that would, that three little words could be the only promo he needed to say in regards to that feud.
Absolutely. I think that would be a great idea. You know, definitely changing up the catchphrase a little bit to gear towards Punk or another serious feud, someone for him to feud with. But let's keep moving on to the show. We briefly saw CM Punk backstage looking for Dolph Ziggler. A little surprising to see CM Punk on SmackDown, but we're going to cover that in just a moment. But then we saw a Divas match between Layla and Alicia Fox. I'm sure we have spoken about how we never know if Alicia Fox is face or heel. Seems like they'll use her in either situation. Layla wins, and it was just an excuse for Matt Stryker to interview Layla about Eve and for her to continue to want her Divas Championship back and to call Eve out on this Caitlyn attack that was clearly from Eve, and somehow they will say that Eve wore a blonde wig or something stupid like that. Kind of a silly feud going on, silly storyline. That is pretty obvious what's going to happen. Louis, do you have anything to say about this feud?
No, nothing at all. It could have just have been easier to not even have the match. I hate saying it because I've always been a fan of women's wrestling, and I hate the way the direction of the product is going, but, you know, it's just the way it is nowadays, I guess. And, you know,
They built up the tag team division pretty well, considering it was pretty much nothing not too long ago. Maybe at some point they'll do that with the Divas division, but who knows?
As far as the match goes, I thought it was whatever. We've seen it before. I don't really care for the match all that much. The promo that Layla cut after the match was kind of weak, so I didn't really understand that factor of it either. But as long as you're giving them some creative direction, I know the feud is pretty weak and it's pretty predictable of what's going to happen. At least you're giving them some creative direction, because I know I, for one, was complaining a few months ago when they weren't even being featured on the 3-hour Raw at all. So I'm glad they're actually having matches on the show. They're not bad. They're not all that great, but at least they're having matches. They're giving them some creative direction, something to work with for the time being. Eve versus Layla could be a good feud. I'm not exactly what they're going with at the moment, because I know Eve's feuding with a variety of people, including Beth Phoenix, Layla, and possibly Caitlyn as well. So they're having her do a feuds while champion. But as I just said, at least they're giving them something to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's no clear number one person that Eve is feuding with. Seems like it really is the division against Eve right now, which could turn into something interesting depending on how they book it. But enough of the Divas division. I don't think anyone cares that much about it. So let's move on. We saw backstage Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero talking with Punk and Heyman about how they ditched each other. Booker T interrupts them and announces Punk versus Ziggler for later. We will get to the match a little later on in the show. But, Graham, what do you think about this backstage segment and the setting up of this match?
Nothing all that significant. I mean, at least, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't all that significant. At least it set up for something later in the night. So at least it was effective in that aspect.
Yeah, that's true. Louie, what do you think about CM Punk showing up on SmackDown and being part of the main event?
It made sense. After the way the tag team match ended on Monday, it was pretty much inevitable that these two were going to face off. The only thing that sucks is, you know, Punk wrestled 3 times in 2 days, you know, on Raw, the next day when they taped the main event, and then later that night when they taped SmackDown. And they were all fairly long matches. And, you know, they need to be careful. Like I've said many times, you know, they keep pushing their top guys with crazy schedules. And, yes, I know the fans want to see them do it, but, you know, the fans also want to see them not hurt for 6 weeks either. It's kind of a balancing act they have to do. So I was kind of surprised to see Punk wrestle on, you know, all 3 shows this week, you know, and then they were all taped within 24 hours of each other.
That's a good point. I mean, and obviously a lot of that has to do with John Cena being hurt right now, and also obviously has to do with the lack of main event star power that the WWE has right now. But we will talk about that a little bit more later on in the show. Before we take a break, let's talk about the Wade Barrett match, which, again, relating this to the Ryback squash match, we've seen enough of Wade Barrett squashing random superstars. This particular opponent, I don't even know what his name was, quite honestly. He's not even someone that we know from the developmental league down in Florida. So why are they continuing to do this, Graham, with Wade Barrett?
I guess it's just to reestablish him as a character. I know he's been around for a month now, so I think it is time to move into a feud. I know from what I was writing on my review of the show on Bleacher Report, I was saying that he has a lot of people are saying, why don't they move into a feud? My question to that is, who is there to feud with? Sheamus is currently embroiled in a World Heavyweight Championship with Big Show. Dolph Ziggler is Mr. Wayne the Bank, kind of going back and forth with Randy Orton, Big Show, Sheamus, whoever, CM Punk. There's very, very few people for Wade Barrett to feud with at the moment. As far as main event guys go, I don't want to see him in any mid-card feuds. And then again, who is there in the mid-card to feud with? Like guys like Kofi Kingston and R-Truth are in the tag team division at the moment. Antonio Cesaro and Miz are both heel champions. So I really don't see what else they can do with him besides giving these squash matches. I think giving him a local athlete was a step back from a contracted talented wrestler, someone like Zack Ryder or Santino Morella or Yoshi or Justin Gabriel Tyson, someone who's seen in recent weeks. But actually, someone pointed this out to me a couple days ago when this happened on SmackDown. This could be the ground for something much bigger. I mean, we saw something like this similar to last year. I'll shoot you the link on Twitter if you'd like it. Wade Barrett was about to compete against a local athlete last year on SmackDown, but refused to fight him and walked off and said that he was much – he felt it was a slap in the face, that he felt that it was disrespectful that they were giving him such a low-name opponent. So maybe they'll do something similar to that, saying that he wants – much more than such a local athlete, something that's diminishing as a local athlete. Maybe they'll come, give him something much, much bigger, like a title shot or something like that. I think they're just trying to kill time with Wade Barrett at the moment until they trigger something like that, something with high impact that will put him right in the world title picture with Sheamus.
Yeah, I agree with you. And one of the things that you were talking about, which sparked a lot of things in my mind, was that there's no one for Wade Barrett to feud with right now. One issue that I even mentioned in my article, Bleacher Report article about Zack Ryder last week, was the fact that both of our mid-card champions are heels. So when you have so many great heels that have nothing to do, like Wade Barrett, you know, not having a mid-card champion that's a face eliminates that. So in order for Wade Barrett to get to a mid-card title right now, if he were to do that, obviously Cesaro or The Miz would have to drop it to a face first, which also leads to us seeing CM Punk versus Dolph Ziggler as the main event. Both of these guys are heels. So I definitely, I stress this a lot pretty much any time I talk about WWE, is the lack of quality faces in WWE right now. I think that they are totally set with heels, but these heels are forced to feud with other heels because there are not enough top faces for them to work with. Louis, what's your take on the Wade Barrett situation and anything else that I spoke of?
I thought the match he had was almost like a punishment. I mean, like I said, the guy was a no-name jobber. I don't even know if jobber is a good enough term to describe it. But in regards to a main event feud, the only one that makes sense to me, you know, obviously can't happen right now, would be him and Randy Orton. You know, Randy Orton's off shooting, but these two guys had a very hot feud at the beginning of the year before Barrett got hurt and, you know, Orton got suspended. I think they could easily pick that feud right back up and, you know, not worry about having a title be the picture of the feud, just the hatred these two guys have for each other and how hot their feud was in the beginning of the year, and it never really got finished. I think that'd be the best option right now. Orton is still a main event guy. You know, Orton still gets that spot, you know, main event type spot, even though there's no title there. It would still be really good for him right now, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it seems like we might be seeing Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio feuding. We've been seeing a lot of hints of that. And we'll be talking more about Del Rio after we take a commercial break. We'll talk about Del Rio. We'll talk about Sheamus versus The Miz, Big Show, and the main event, CM Punk versus Dolph Ziggler. So stay with us. Feel free to tweet us or call in, and we'll be right back on SmackDown Rundown. GSM Matthews, he's a featured columnist on Bleacher Report, and the only medical expert of professional wrestling, Louis, is joining me as well. So let's continue our discussion about this past Friday's SmackDown. The next match we saw was Sheamus versus The Miz. It was nice to see a different match in that we didn't see Sheamus win, but we did see Big Show come in. And instead of beating up Sheamus, he knocked out Miz with the WMD to give Miz the win by disqualification. I thought this was actually a pretty good move. We obviously saw Kane and Daniel Bryan do a similar thing a few weeks ago, costing each other their matches. But obviously Sheamus and Big Show are feuding right now. And it was also, as a big Miz fan, it was nice to see Miz finally pick up a win, even if it might have seemed weak or not a great way to win a match. Graham, let's start with you. Your thoughts on the Sheamus-Miz match.
As far as the match goes, it was a great match. We've seen it a couple times over the last year, but it wasn't fresh. A lot of guys, these two guys have a lot of good chemistry. So I did enjoy that aspect of it. I was marking up for the Miz victory. It was via disqualification. I know Miz looked weak after he got hit with the WMD. But nonetheless, a win is a win. The Miz hasn't picked up many non-title victories since he captured the title, and this was his second non-title victory since he captured the title 3 weeks ago, or 3 months ago, I should say, after defeating Zack Ryder this past week, and now Sheamus, the World Heavyweight Champion. So whether you like it or not, it was a pretty big victory. As far as the Sheamus and Big Show feud goes, I mean, I guess it was somewhat some type of an innovative way to go about it, to further it. But like you just said, they did the same exact thing with Kane and Daniel Bryan just a few weeks ago on SmackDown, so that didn't really seem all that creative. But a win is a win for Miz, so I enjoyed that aspect of it. And we were talking about this on Save Us GSM this past week, how Sheamus has been undefeated since, I believe, June or something like that. But I know I didn't watch the main event at the time that we spoke of the show, but now that I've watched it in SmackDown, Sheamus has now received two losses within the course of 48 hours after remaining undefeated for 3 months. He just suffered his two losses at the hands of Miz and CM Punk in the last 3 months. So I thought that was pretty cool as well.
Yeah, I agree. It was enough for Sheamus' winning streak. So hopefully this is a sign of things to come. Louis, your take on the Sheamus-Miz match?
Yeah, I thought it was a real good match too, and I really liked the ending. It was almost, on another level where, Big Show came down, Sheamus was ready for a fight, but Big Show swerved him, almost like, Big Show proving to Sheamus that, he's smarter than he is. And Sheamus never saw this coming, that he would punch the Miz so that Sheamus would lose. So I thought that was a nice little thing to put into their little storyline there. And Graham's right, this is, for the first time in months, Sheamus has a losing streak, which I'm starting to think might be foreshadowing. I think he might be losing the match at Hell in a Cell now. Whether Big Show keeps it for longer than a minute is yet to be determined, but I think Sheamus is losing the belt.
You might have a good point. This may be foreshadowing. I'm not so sure. I think he'll lose it to Big Show, but if he does lose it to Big Show, I do think it'll be a one-minute reign yet again, and he'll probably lose it again to Dolph Ziggler. I do think that the next World Heavyweight Champion will be Dolph Ziggler, and I think that will happen by the time Royal Rumble comes around. But we saw this happen again later in the night with the Big Show Tensai match, which we will get to. But the start of the next segment actually had David Otunga in the ring, and surprisingly, he had his ring gear on, so I wasn't surprised that this ultimately led to a match. He talked about the Del Rio Randy Orton situation, Del Rio attacking Orton after SmackDown last week. I thought Del Rio coming out to Orton's music and imitating his whole entrance was phenomenal. I thought he did a great job. It was very entertaining. I'm glad that he didn't talk like Randy Orton for more than 3 seconds. I thought that would have been terrible. So that I actually really enjoyed. I thought he did a great imitation of Randy Orton. Booker T comes out and announces that Del Rio and Otunga will be in a tag team match. I immediately knew who it would be against, and that was Team Hell No. Another great match from Team Hell No. They pick up the win. Let's start with Louis this time. What do you think of the match and the setup of the match?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, the Del Rio beginning of the match. I never really expected to see that. So anytime I'm, kind of shocked, it's exciting for me. He did well with it. And, the tag match, that was good, I thought. It wasn't great, but it was good. And I like how, we had talked in previous weeks on here about maybe them pushing Daniel Bryan and Kane too much, too fast on our throats with all these segments they've been doing. And they've kind of stopped that, but they're letting their in-ring work, keep telling that story, which right now is probably the best way to do that and still keep it fresh. So I think they're doing a good job there. And, overall, I thought this worked out pretty well for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct. They're not shoving them down our throats right now. I know a lot of people were concerned that they might do that with Team Hell No. We didn't see any crazy segments, any funny segments, but we did get to see Team Hell No in a great situation, great match. Graham, what's your take on the segment and the match?
Well, David Otunga's mic skill is always terrible, so that wasn't all that intriguing kicking off the segment with him. But Randy Orton, as you said before, the Randy Orton entrance or imitation from Del Rio, I thought that was absolutely fantastic. He did a great job with it. I really sincerely think they should change Del Rio's music, two voices from now on, because that fit in perfectly. Now on to the match. That is a decent match, some good action. As Louis just said, I think speaking or having the action speak for themselves rather than Team Hell No, even with all the segments and whatnot, I thought that was a great approach to it, rather than shoving down our throats for the 100th week in a row. I'm not saying I hate Team Hell No. They are extremely entertaining. But letting their action speak for them was a very good way to go about it. And also a nice touch, by the way, having Daniel Bryan pick up the victory exactly 15 years after Kane made his WWE debut at Bad Blood 1997. I know Kane didn't pick up the fall victory. I know Daniel Bryan did. But even still, I thought that was a nice touch. And Daniel Bryan actually winning the match in the headbutt. I thought that was cool, reminiscent of the late Chris Benoit. I know that wasn't obviously their designation for it. But even still, I thought it was a good finish to a good match.
I agree. And, you know, you and I both, Graham, talked about how we enjoyed Del Rio's imitation of Randy Orton. I was also very impressed because I felt, I know many of us feel that Del Rio needs a little bit of a character change, and I think that this showed that he can play different parts and he can do more with his character. Louis, what do you think about Del Rio's character, and does this show that he can maybe tweak his character that, like, we've all been wanting him to?
Yeah, I think it shows he can do something else besides the Mexican aristocrat shtick, which nobody cares for anymore. I mean, they try to write, make him as the Mexican version of JBL, and he's just not that guy. You know, I understand he's a Mexican wrestler and it was based down there, but people aren't buying it, so there's no need to keep continuing it and hoping they will buy it one day. You know, it's insulting to the fans to do that. So I'm kind of glad they showed this other, thing aside of him that he can do, and hopefully, see that he did well with it and will continue to do things like this in the future and make him a little bit more fresher than he is.
Absolutely. Graham, what do you think, or what would you do with Del Rio's character right now?
I think I mentioned this maybe last week or the week before, but I think putting Del Rio in a stable with maybe Primo, Epico, Junico, and Camacho, I think would be the best bet for him. Maybe the feud with Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio, I think that'd be an excellent way to utilize Del Rio. But as we just saw on SmackDown, he could be entertaining if he tried using a different gimmick. I don't think a face turn would do much justice for him. I think he'd still be the same guy, just extremely just out of character, and that'd be pretty weird. But other than that, I think he is capable of a character change. Hopefully it comes sooner than later. I think a feud with Randy Orton would be great. I've been pulling for it for the past year now. I think those guys have great in-ring chemistry. And one quick question. Speaking of Randy Orton, I was glad that he's kept up this week's show to go film his movie or whatever, or maybe they just kept him off just for the hell of it, sell the injury from last week. But if Randy Orton is off filming his movie, then why are they having him come back for main event next Wednesday to face the Big Show?
Well, a lot of people are talking about, Randy Orton taking a lot of time for this movie. I don't necessarily believe that he's taking a lot of time off. I think that he may not be on every single show, but I don't think he's going to disappear for a long period of time. I think that he's going to show up every so often, but not every show. What do you think, Louie?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I guess I don't know enough about the movie and his role in it. Is he the lead actor in it, or is he just not an extra, but I mean like a support character? Do you guys know?
I'm not
sure,
Graham.
I think lead part,
Okay.
Yeah,
I think he's probably
the lead part. You would think a lead part would have to be there a lot more, but who knows? I mean, we're used to John Cena going off and filming him, the Miz filming, and they're gone for months. But, with this whole main event thing, they're trying to get, star people to hype up the show for the first few weeks that it's on. So, they're doing, you know, flying back to, I think they're on the West Coast or something next week, and, you know, Hollywood's on the West Coast, so that's not a bad trip. So, I mean, it's easy for him to fly in and do a match and then, you know, go back to filming. I don't think it takes that much away.
Right. Like I said, I think that he will miss some time, but maybe not a lot of time in a row, necessarily. Moving on from this situation, we saw another backstage segment between Teddy Long and Eve, more of blaming Eve for the attack on Caitlin. Who cares? Anyone, Graham or Louie, do you have anything else to say about that storyline?
Nope.
All right.
No, not really.
Yeah, I'm totally moving on from that. We did see the Big Show Tenzai match, which we talked about earlier. Sheamus obviously came in and bro-kicked Tenzai so that he could get the win by disqualification, just like Miz did earlier the night. We probably won't talk about the segment too much, but Louie, let's start with you. My question is, how does this affect Tenzai? We see him playing this role of just sort of being not necessarily a jobber, but a guy that is losing to main event stars only. And again, we see a heel versus heel match. So what's your take on the constant heel versus heel matches going on?
In regards to the first part of the question, it makes me think that the only reason McMahon signed Tensai was to be a big guy who he knew could go against bigger guys like Ryback and Big Show and lose. I don't think there was any divine plan for Tensai to be this, you know, big main event character. I think he was just purchased essentially to be a jobber to big guys. What was your second part?
Well, again, we see another heel versus heel match. What's your take on this?
I don't mind it. I really don't. I think, you know, I think the wrestling fans are getting smarter, and they don't have to be told who to cheer for and who to hate. I think they just like the product, and it doesn't matter if you have two heel guys fighting against each other. I mean, you have Dolph Ziggler and you have Cody Rhodes, two heels. Put them together and it'd be a hell of a match. We won't get it because WWE is still in this mindset that we have to have heel versus face, but, you know, occasionally they do throw heel versus heel more than they do face versus face. You know, kind of basically just telling the fans, you know, well, you can hate both these guys. You don't really care. We have nothing going on for them. You know, we're just doing it to further a storyline somewhere else, which is essentially what Tensai was. He was a pawn in Big Show and Sheamus' storyline that had nothing, no purpose of him being there. It could have been Yoshitatsu. The same result would have happened. You know, it was all about Sheamus and Big Show, even though they weren't fighting each other. So sometimes, you know, when they do this, it doesn't make any sense to me a lot because, you know, who cares if they're heel or face? I just want to see good matches. I don't really care.
I totally agree with you. Graham, what's your take on this? What do you think about, you know, heel versus heel matches? Who are the younger kids rooting for in Big Show versus Tenzai?
I completely agree with everything that Louie just said. I actually wrote an article about this just last week that the lines are blurring between face and heel. We've seen a lot of heel and face tactics from both face guys and heel guys, and I think it goes beyond just way more than just the matches. I mean, just last week when we saw John Cena use the pipe on CM Punk, I thought that was more of a heel tactic. Sheamus, a prime example of a guy that uses heel tactics, yes, that still gets cheered excessively. Dolph Ziggler, you take away Vicky Guerrero from Zach, is a pure face. So I think the line between face and heel is slowly starting to fade away in this day and age. As you just said, I think the fact that people can just root for who they want to root for, not necessarily who's the heel and who's the face. But on the match itself, if it was a throwaway match, obviously, Tensai winning, all that, nothing all that significant. It was just designed to further the feud between Sheamus and Big Show. I think they could have replaced Tensai with somebody else. I really don't give a shit all about that Tensai. I mean, they could have done something better with him. I think he did have some potential when they brought him back in, but he just completely flopped and they lost all faith in him whatsoever by June. So I think they could have put someone like maybe Zack Ryder in here, maybe it would have been considered like a huge upset victory and it could have put it over something big. I know it was all about the feud between Sheamus and Big Show, but even still, maybe putting someone like in a Zack Ryder or a Tyson Kidd would have been perfect, would have been a lot more significant than having Tenshi coming here for absolutely no reason. But I thought it was a nice touch, even though they did not acknowledge it, and of course they didn't. I know this is quite a while back, but Big Show and Tenshi, former tag team partners, WrestleMania 19 against The Undertaker. I thought that was pretty close. They went one against one another. I know they weren't going to acknowledge that happened over a decade ago, but even still, I thought that was a cool touch as well.
Absolutely. I was thinking, actually, Brutus Clay would have been a good face to be in this match against Big Show.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
But speaking of our heel versus heel on the blurry lines, we did see our main event be a rematch from, was it last year's Royal Rumble? CM Punk versus Dolph Ziggler. Obviously, two of the best workers in WWE right now. We did see Punk win, and we did have him announce and tease that he may face John Cena at Hell in a Cell, but obviously tried to fool us all and say that he will not face Cena at Hell in a Cell, even though I think we're all pretty sure this will happen. Louis, let's start with you, your take on the match and the end to SmackDown this week.
I thought it was a good way to end SmackDown. You know, you can expect a good match when these two guys are in there, and you know we got what we expected. It was nice. I hope to see these guys, you know, in a long feud down the road. CM Punk. There's no question that him and Cena are going to play the Hell in a Cell. I don't even know why they're still trying to make you believe that it's not going to happen. I mean, that would be the ultimate friggin' swerve right there. We get the Hell in a Cell. John Cena's music hits, and CM Punk's music hits. No CM Punk, and Hell in a Cell goes off the air with no match happening. It would piss everybody off, but that would be something that's never been done before. I think that would be interesting in and of itself, even though it would piss off a lot of people.
That's true, but I'm thinking they might not want to announce, and maybe they're not 100% sure of John Cena's health.
Yeah, they're probably not, but either way, they're going to put him in that match. Worst case scenario, they end up making it a three-way match, so he doesn't take as much of the abuse as, you know, a normal one-on-one match would be. But he'll definitely be there. I have no question about it. Whether he's healthy or not, I don't think he should be there. I think he should be off into a Royal Rumble, let him heal up completely for the Road to WrestleMania, because he's going to be pushed to death at that point. Right now, you really have nothing to lose. Just let them rest, but they're going to push them right in there. And, you know, we saw the ratings of Raw this week, the lowest they've had in 15 years. No surprise, John Cena said they'll be on Raw Monday night. I mean, they're
That's
obviously
true.
Not really going to give them time to rest.
That's true. If they did make it a three-way, I'm not even sure who they would even pick to be the third person. Graham, what's your take on the last match and ending to SmackDown this week?
Fantastic match between CM Punk and Dolph Ziggler, as you just said, two of the best workers in WWE today. That is a bit strange that CM Punk went over clean, but hey, I'm all for CM Punk winning clean over a credible heel like Dolph Ziggler. I thought it was a great move, but I did think it was a bit strange that they were protecting Ziggler from Night of Champions on, because as you might have noticed, they had him defeat Santino last week on Raw. They had him defeat someone else last week on Raw. I can't remember exactly who. They had him beat up Sheamus last week on SmackDown, and they didn't make him lose this past week on Raw. They made CM Punk lose instead. So they were kind of protecting Dolph Ziggler a little bit, and I was absolutely for that going into his World Heavyweight Championship run, or inevitable World Heavyweight Championship run, I should say. So I thought that was pretty weird that they had him lose so decisively to CM Punk, but I'm all for it. CM Punk needs more clean victories after losing to not losing John Cena, but having his match go to a draw and using heel tax to defeat Sheamus on main event. That's a great way to end the match. The promo itself, intriguing, of course, going into Hell in a Cell, saying the match won't happen despite all the negotiations from Bret Hart, Mick Foley, and Jim Ross on Raw in recent weeks, saying that he should face John Cena. What it will eventually lead to, obviously, John Cena probably returning on Raw, making accept the match in some terms. I have no idea how. But we're just going to have to wait and see, but I thought it was an intriguing build to it. They have a few weeks left until Hell in a Cell, so I think having him say no at this point in time was definitely logical and the go about it. But it will be a great match coming home in Cell if Johnson is indeed 100% to wrestle in Cell for the WWE Championship.
Absolutely. All right, well, that wraps up our – what's that?
I was going to say real quick, I think they could actually throw Ryback into the triple threat match, have Ryback not be involved in the pinfall. You know, I could easily see Punk and Ryback, fighting a lot of the match, and, somehow towards the end, maybe Paul Heyman handcuffs Ryback to the cage, and Ryback's forced to watch CM Punk pin John Cena. It would keep Ryback's record clean. It would further their feud with Punk and Ryback. It would keep the belt on Punk. It would work out for everything. Keep Cena safe. It would be a perfect option, I think, right now.
Yeah, I was thinking Ryback also, but I wasn't sure what they would do in terms of trying to keep his record clean. Like you said, he obviously wouldn't be involved in the finish. Would that be considered a loss or not? But that would be a certainly intriguing situation. Let's go with overall thoughts on the show. Graham, why don't you start?
I thought it was a decent show, as I said before. Some good action, especially the main event and the opening tag team match. Those were both good matches. Other than that, kind of a filler show, and it's understandable with Hell in a Cell only 3-4 weeks away from this point in time. Really looking forward to that, and the build won't really kick in until next week or the week following. So they did a good job of kind of killing time, although nothing on the show is all that bad. I thought everything on the show was okay to decent, so that was okay. Not as good as weeks past, but I am looking forward to a lot of the storylines that have progressing on the show, including what's going on with Ryback, the world title picture. Hopefully if it improves, if it doesn't improve, they will be pretty pissed. They're making Big Show look like such a coward in this feud with Sheamus. He should be looking like a dominant monster. But that aside, Sheamus has been taking on a good direction in recent weeks. I'm looking forward to what they have going forward.
All right. And Louis?
Overall, I thought it was an average SmackDown. Nothing great, nothing terrible. As Grant said, we still have a ways to go before they actually start to have to really build towards Hell in a Cell. And then they pretty much are just stalling for time. Hopefully in the next week or two, things will start to pick up and things will get interesting. On an interesting note, last night me and Joe did our top 10 podcast, and we talked about a story that's going around that Vince McMahon is completely stepping away from SmackDown and giving that show to Triple H and Stephanie to run completely, almost as like a practice run to see how they can run a whole show by themselves. So it's going to be interesting to see how SmackDown changes at all, knowing that Triple H and Stephanie are the only ones in charge of calling the shots there and not Vince.
That is very interesting. I'm not too surprised. Vince is obviously getting a bit old, and it's a good transitional way for him to start stepping away. I thought it was an okay show, nothing great, nothing special happened, and they didn't really take advantage once again of building towards Hell in a Cell other than Sheamus versus Big Show. Thank you all for listening to this week's SmackDown Rundown. Again, I'm Seth Gutwrench Guttenplan. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. I often write on Bleacher Report. I write the Raw Review for CamelClutchBlog.com, and I have my own blog at GutwrenchPowerBlog.com. Graham, why don't you start? You can plug your Twitter and save us GSM.
Yeah, sure. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Tim_S_GSM. Tout, same thing. I write for Bleacher Report. Go check me out on there. And same thing with WrestleEnigma. You can see they kick out quite a few other sites. Check out my other show at Save Us GSM every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on PW247.net with Louie, as well as our Spoilers Podcast, which just recently turned at blogtalkradio.com/spoilerspodcast. And we have about a few minutes left. I just want to ask you guys this real quick before tomorrow night's Raw. What do you think Vince McMahon's announcement is going to be come Monday's Raw?
That's a very good question. I'm hoping that it will be something impactful. I hope it's not something just firing AJ and getting another GM. We've just seen that way too much. It's been the same thing every time. I hope it's something really impactful, like no more of the two brands, no more having two world titles. I'm not saying I'm confident that that will happen, but I'm hoping something impactful like that. Louie?
What I'm hoping for is Vince McMahon to be the one speaking, not Mr. McMahon. I don't want it to be any storyline involvement. I want him to come out and say I know ratings are bad. I know we have competition with football. I know the fans want to see a better product. And here is what I'm going to do to give you a better product.
We got 40 seconds, Louis. 40 seconds.
Yeah, that's good enough. I'm done.
All right. Follow Louis at @medic_Louis. He is the new owner of Wrestle Enigma. Tune into Raw tomorrow night to see what Vince will do. Hopefully something impactful. Thank you again for joining us on SmackDown Rundown. We will see you next week.